An empty spirit can do everything. What is an empty spirit? An empty spirit is one that is confused by nothing, attached to nothing, nor to any fixed way of acting, and has no concern whatever in anything for its own gain, for it is all sunk down into God's dearest will and has forsaken its own. That's German Dominican mystic Meister Eckhart, who lived between 1260 and 1327. Being planted in God's life, this is what the parable of the sower is really about. And here, for the first time in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we encounter Jesus teaching through the first parable he ever spoke. It's not only the first, but also one of the most vivid parables he ever told, and the only parable to which an explanation or commentary was appended. Today, and every day, Jesus climbs into his floating, watery pulpit and issues the eternal invitation of the kingdom, the universal Catholic call to enter and embrace and embody the rule and reign of God, the kingdom. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. From an image born in the daily life of Palestinian farming, a sower goes out with a bag of seed grain under his arm and broadcasts it in a wide arc, just throws it out indiscriminately. Jesus is telling us that God is the sower. Jesus himself is the kingdom seed, flung far and wide by God to all sorts and conditions of soil, of spirits, of people, regardless of receptivity. He flings himself and the good news he proclaims to the undifferentiated masses, not just to the plowed ground of the devout and religious and well-mannered, well-behaved. Jesus, the seed, has been flung by the Father, especially into the rocky, weed-infested soil of sinners, of the lost, of the soul-wounded peoples of the earth. Do you remember our friend, Father Jerry Kramer? I say our friend because he is a friend of this parish. 3.5 years ago, he came and preached in this pulpit and taught in some classes and met with the vestry during our stewardship emphasis in the fall of that year. But he's a particular friend of mine and of Robin's, and we have known Jerry and Stacy for years. He came and preached at my church and taught there in Houston when we were there. From there, he and his family went to Tanzania, East Africa, for a number of years until that closed on them. They moved to New Orleans just in time for the perfect storm of Katrina, and they stayed there about 6 years, and Harvard University used him as a case study for social work and outreach. And then from there, he went to Zanzibar, East Africa, but now he and his family are in Turkey. And I received from him, as I do from time to time, an email update of what is going on. In fact, it was just yesterday at 4:37 a.m. that one came in. This is it. The Turkey team, which he calls all those over there, arrived safely last week in Istanbul on time to the minute with all luggage in hand, a miracle. We've since settled into the Istanbul House of Prayer as our headquarters and are now working out on figuring things out, which isn't easy here. The city of Istanbul is divided between Europe and Asia. Our two apartments are on the Asian side and, in a conservative, in the Islamic sense, ghetto. Westerners generally don't come here. Istanbul as a whole, with a population of 20-plus million, has more mosques than any other city in the world. This is a mind-blowingly complicated country and culture. Turkey lies at the heart of the world's major fault lines: political, continental, cultural, economic, and religious. It is the world's largest unreached nation. It is the world's largest sending nation of Islamic missionaries. One of the big issues to grasp, which many Westerners often struggle, is that there is no separation between the religious and the political within Islam. They do not distinguish the sacred from the secular. Thus, Islamic missionaries have an ever-present political agenda, and therefore they see all Christian missionaries as having a political agenda as well, making us spies. Turkey has the world's second largest mafia and sex trafficking industry. These women have no rights and are seen as merely commodities. The spiritual oppression here is palpable. Al-Qaeda is known to be very active along the Kurdish resistance, the PKK. The country is moving away from its modern secularist position towards more stringent Islam. Things are changing, and not for the better. In preparation for our ministry here, we sought the Lord's direction and continually heard three things: worship, sex trafficking, and working with frontline, long-term Christian missionaries. And that's where we've been seeing some fruit. The point of the spear in dark, unreached places must be worship. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people, says the psalmist. God is moving here in this country, and we believe this is the result of years and years of focused prayer and worship, although undetected. The rule for the house of prayer is 2 hours per day per person in the upstairs chapel. While this may seem like a lot, it actually feels like not enough. There's an amazing ministry here working with victims of sex trafficking, and we've been blessed to connect with them. The women's stories are absolutely devastating. Women are tricked into coming here for work, then sold into slavery. Women are sold by their fathers, husbands, and brothers into brothels. A growing issue is Iraqi Christian women whose husbands have been killed, leaving them defenseless and then brought here into sex slavery. Our team had the opportunity to pray with a rescued worker and a gypsy whose daughter was abducted. She was rescued unharmed, praise God. In both prayer sessions, the women had visions of Jesus coming and ministering to them. It was amazing because the women had no idea what the team was praying, but explained in Turkish to our translator exactly what our team prayed out in English. We spent over 6 hours praying for the frontline missionaries, their family members, interns, and longtime staff. Working in this ministry with the darkness, sin, and oppression is incredibly draining for them. The lead ministry coordinator here in country said our coming here to pray with and support them was a total godsend. Our team split up and went to work on a building recently acquired for use as a safe house, ministry center, and school for the children of trafficked women. We completed 2 classrooms, which were put into use the very next day. They are desperate for more hands on deck here. Please pray that God would send more workers. There is a small cadre of missionaries doing heroic ministry under unbelievably difficult circumstances. We also prayed for a first-generation Christian woman experiencing major oppression from her upbringing and saw her set free in Christ, able to forgive herself and her mother. Her priest said our trip here was all worth it just for this one experience. They had been so concerned for her, but we know God has a whole lot more in store for us, and we were grateful to all who made this mission possible in so many ways. Thank you for your love, support, prayer, generosity that propel and sustain us. We have a big week of ministry ahead with local gypsies, back to the sex trafficking safe house, and walking the streets looking for opportunities to share Christ's love. Please keep them. Keep up the prayers and know of prayers and love in him, Father Jerry. An empty spirit can do everything. What is an empty spirit? An empty spirit is one that is confused by nothing, attached to nothing, nor to any fixed way of acting, and has no concern whatever in anything for its own gain, for it is all sunk down into God's dearest will and has forsaken its own, planted in God's life. Some of the seed is scattered in such an uncalculated, Johnny Appleseed kind of way that it falls on the hardened, packed down path the sower and other travelers follow to reach each portion of the field. Some of the exposed seed is lost to the birds, and with such stony, limestone layered strata such as in Palestine, there will be places with insufficient soil depth to sustain growth until harvest season. And of course, the ever present threat of choking weeds and thorns goes without saying. But like the sun shining on the just and the unjust, The grain of the gospel of Jesus' life and death and resurrection is being flung far and wide, wherever the sower, an empty-spirited, non-attached to the outcome sowers go. God's kingdom is being accomplished to the surprise of all, without calculation. Johnny Appleseed-like everywhere, in Nicaragua today, in the mission trip of the youth in Michigan today, in Turkey, Tanzania, everywhere. And it is especially productive and fruitful in the soil of an empty, receptive spirit. Jesus seems to be telling us, forget the birds, forget the rocks, don't worry about the weeds and the thorns. These are not the sower's concerns, only sow. Don't worry or fret. Just fling seed. Just fling open your heart, your spirit to God. To God who can deeply plant the engrafted living word of God, an abundant life, the life of Jesus himself, into your spiritual soil. And mysteriously, seeds will produce plants. And plants will eventually produce a harvest. The reign of God, the kingdom, will come. Well, that intrepid Father Jerry and Stacy were last, before they got to Turkey, in Nepal. And this is what I want to read to you from that. He quotes chapter 16 of St. Mark's Gospel. And these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Dearest friends, thanks so much to all who prayed with us, gave with us, sacrificed with us, supported and encouraged us as we made our way to Nepal. Now we're in our final hours here, and the experience has been nothing short of amazing. We've seen the power of God like never before. The big personal takeaways for us were experiencing God's special love for the poor and seeing his light shine in especially dark places. Nepal is a beautiful country with beautiful people and great food, but with all the problems endemic to a two-thirds world nation, kind of like Louisiana. Conditions were indeed a bit rough at times, this coming from people who lived in East Africa. Today there's no water in Kathmandu. We were all a bit sick at points. In Nigad, we lived in a hot concrete room with the mosquitoes and little, if any, power, shower and bathroom facilities. That was, well, fascinating. Transportation was, well, interesting. On our down day in Chitwan, we traveled by horse cart, dugout canoe, through crocodile-infested waters, and then on elephant back through jungle and across crocodile-infested waters. The Nepali people embraced us all warmly. Our children, Nina and Blaze, had near celebrity status with the local children, and in terms of ministry, it was mission accomplished. Our goal in coming here was to support, encourage, and resource indigenous church pastors and leaders in their work among the unreached. By trip's end, we had trained 80-plus local pastors and lay leaders, median age 25, from 26 indigenous churches, and baptized 16 new believers. We taught on the basics of discipleship, how to disciple, healing prayer and deliverance, who we are in Christ, how to be filled and stay filled with the Holy Spirit, and how to hear the voice of God. As we were working in remote areas, there had never been training conferences sponsored like these before. The students were grateful and excited. Ultimately, it cost about $200 per student, and this investment, though not in this year's budget, will pay dividends for the kingdom beyond measure. It was worth every cent spent and every inconvenience endured, possibly our most fruitful mission trip ever. It was high impact. By the end of each training session, the students were bringing their family members and friends, many of them Hindus, with sickness and diseases for healing prayer. We let the students do the ministry, and we saw so many people freed from years of pain and suffering. One that sticks out was a little girl, probably 6 or 7 years old, at Blessing Church in Chitwan. She came up shyly for prayer after the service with a noticeably deformed left arm. After about 5 minutes of prayer, Jesus healed her arm completely. We asked her how she felt. She said, happy, and then ran off to play with children, her friends, with a big smile. The concert, the gospel concert in Niigata, a former hotspot of Maoist insurgency, is still hard to put into words. This wasn't going to even happen because of budget issues until a parish in Dallas made it possible at the 11th hour. We preached the gospel to 1,500 people in the remote town near the Indian border. The band sang their hearts out and performed Nepali cultural dances. Then people came forward for healing prayer. We were nearly crushed. We scrambled to get the students and pastors whom we trained up front to help us out. I want to be very careful now not to overstate what happened next. But suffice to say, many, many were healed. Every person with a limb injury or disability was healed. We saw the deaf hear and the mute speak. We saw afflicting and harassing spirits cast out. People were liberated from all kinds of maladies, many of whom had suffered for years. On Tuesday of our last week, we trekked up a high hillside in Kathmandu to find clean water for baptism. It was quite the haul, but worth it. We found a spot where the mountain river water pooled and baptized 7 new Christians. The church here is so young adults, young couples, lots of babies. Many of the believers we met along the way had only been Christians for 6 months or less. Oftentimes, they face persecution and rejection by their families. This tiny church here needs lots of care, support, and nurturing, but we leave highly encouraged. They're excited, joyful, committed in a way we Westerners have a hard time grasping. Please keep them in your prayers. And thanks again for making this support mission to them possible. Father Jerry. Rocks, weeds, thorns, Al-Qaeda, crocodiles, evil spirits, whatever. Jesus never seems to worry. Neither should we. Seeds fall where they may. Even here, right now, in crocodile-infested St. Michael and St. George. In whatever soil condition your heart is in. The results are up to God. An empty spirit can do everything. What is an empty spirit? An empty spirit is one that is confused by nothing, attached to nothing, nor to any fixed way of acting, and has no concern whatever in anything for its own gain. For it is all sunk down into God's dearest will and has forsaken its own. It hears the word and understands it. It bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. An empty spirit can do everything.